Well, let's do it. I'm ready. You've got questions, we've got answers.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, it has been a busy morning already now, early afternoon. I am ready to take your calls. I've got a few interesting things to share with you. First, this is Michael Brown. This is our last broadcast of 2016, which has been an amazing year in so many ways, and a fruitful year in so many ways, in ways we are profoundly grateful to God. It is Friday, which means you've got questions, we've got answers. So any question you want to ask me of any kind, biblical, theological, spiritual, moral, cultural, maybe a Jewish-related call. We had a special guest yesterday and didn't get too many calls in the first hour. Give me a call, 866-348-7884. If you differ with me on something and are trying to get more information, if you want to challenge something I believe, give me a call. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. I did say there are a few things I want to mention before we go to your calls and your emails. So let me start here. My appreciation to Facebook for correcting an error they made today. Oh, it was a little after noon, I guess, somewhere around there. I went to post something on Facebook, and I had been blocked out from doing it. I thought, What happened? And then it said there was a post that was removed for conduct violating community standards, and I was blocked from posting anything for 7 days. I thought, what in the world? And then I saw the post that was blocked, and it had been shared multiplied thousands of times on our page and had reached probably 800,000 people. And it was a cartoon from 2014 that I posted. Our team posted other things. I happened to post this myself. And it was a picture of Secretary of State Kerry. He's sitting at a negotiating table. Netanyahu is to his left, and Hamas is to his right. And sitting on the lap of the Hamas leader is a child. So in other words, using a child as a human shield. And there's a caption, the Hamas leader saying, "Death to all Jews." And Kerry saying to Netanyahu, can you meet us halfway? In other words, the absurdity of trying to negotiate with terrorists who want to annihilate Israel. Now, Hamas does not stand for the death of all Jews, but for the annihilation of Israel. So that got removed. So I wrote to a contact. I said, what in the world? How did this get removed? It's a political cartoon and et cetera. And I said, I'm blocked from posting anything. I said, we've got a 500,000 followers on Facebook, and it's New Year coming, and special announcements coming, and live video we're going to do. And so she checked on it. She said, well, there's a post saying, you know, death to all Jews that violates our standards. I said, I'm exposing. It's an exaggerated statement from Hamas. We're exposing it. We're exposing terror. And she said, it was removed in error, our bad, and got it corrected. So I appreciate them acknowledging the error, apologizing, and getting that fixed. So my thanks to Facebook. That being said, speaking about Israel and terror and Israel and America, boy, Senator Ted Cruz came out with a scathing rebuke of our president and administration and Secretary of State Kerry for what they have done to Israel. Like bitter clingers, he wrote, Obama and Kerry are spending every last minute of this administration wreaking havoc domestically and abroad. With their last breath in office, they have struck at Israel through the UN and through today's disgraceful speech, speaking of Kerry yesterday. These acts are shameful. They are designed to secure a legacy, and indeed they have. History will record, and the world will fully understand Obama and Kerry as relentless enemies of Israel. He says Obama and Kerry's shameful conduct will backfire, will be short-lived, and will inspire a bipartisan repudiation of their radical anti-Israel agenda. He's right. He's right. Absolutely right. We'll be right back. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Friday edition of The Line of Fire. We've got a special New Year's program to kick off the new year. So Monday, you will be hearing from me with a brand new program. You don't want to miss it for the new year. Perhaps you are off from work and have a rare opportunity to listen live to the broadcast. So be sure to catch us on Monday. We want to start the year together. We want to spend the whole week of the new year. We'll catch up on key news and things that are happening, but talking about life transformation, talking about lasting life transformation, talking about new year, new you. 866-348-7884. Any question you want to ask me of any kind in any area of expertise I have, by all means, give me a call. The earlier in the broadcast you call, the better chance we have of getting to your call. Before I go to the phones, so pleased to see on Amazon today that our new book, which comes out on Tuesday, January 3rd, Breaking the Stronghold of Food, How We Conquered Food Addictions and Discovered a New Way of Living. Nancy and I are writing it together. It is now the number one new release in Christian personal growth. So pleased to see that. And this is before the book is even out. If you haven't ordered your copy yet, here's a great way to do it. The publisher is giving you a free ebook when you order the paperback, and you get the paperback at a reduced price. Here's how you do it. Go to strongholdoffood.com. strongholdoffood.com. And then you'll see an option to click to order the book. It'll take you to a link for Amazon, for example. Order there, and then you get instructions to get the free ebook. That'll all come your way on Tuesday. And immediately you'll get three chapters sent to you that you can start reading immediately in e-form. And then the whole free book on Tuesday when it comes out. So take advantage of this, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. I think you will be super encouraged, and it will help you find a whole new way of living. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start in Jersey City with Joel. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. Dr. Brown, God bless you. I listen to you every day. I just called to wish you and your loved one Happy New Year, and all around you, the people help you, work with you. And thank you for all of this great news and great to being great to everyone.
Well, thank you, sir. That's very kind of you to call, and thank you for the New Year's greetings for me and for our whole team. And may the smile of the Lord be on you and be on your family, and may 2017 be the greatest year you have ever known. Thanks for the call, and I do appreciate it. Hey, let me just say this, and that's very kind of Joel to call in. I do appreciate it. Let me say this. More of the same will only produce more of the same. Can I repeat that? More of the same will only produce more of the same. So if I have a bad habit and I keep repeating the behavior associated with that bad habit, it's never going to change. It's never going to change. If every night you have fitful sleep because maybe you drink, you know, caffeine late in the day, and you have fitful sleep at night, and every night you drink the same caffeine, you have the same fitful sleep. More of the same is only going to produce more of the same. Every day for years, I'd wake up thinking, okay, tomorrow is going to be different in terms of I'm going to eat the same way I eat, but somehow get different results. It doesn't work like that in any area of life. So if you realize there are areas in your life where you need to make a change, be it in your relationship with God or your relationship with other people, be it in aspects of your own lifestyle or discipline, be it in your job, be it in things God's called you to do, if you want to see different results, you'll need to do things differently. You don't need to be a rocket scientist to know that. All right? 866-348-7884. You've got questions. We've got answers. We go to Ray in Clinton, Maryland. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello. Are you talking to me?
Yes, we got you right on the air, sir. Go ahead.
Oh, Okay, yes. I just returned from Israel, the Palestinian, the West Bank. A group of ministers and I went up there for an assessment of what's going on. And from Maryland, California, Chicago, and D.C. And what we saw was appalling, what we saw was going on there. And we did not see any terrorism. Now, I don't know anything about Hamas, but I do know that the PLO is not interested in killing the Jews. I'm a minister. I'm a pastor. I pastor in Maryland. From Texas, believe God had chosen the Israelis, all of that stuff, and believe that God is still working with them. But when I went there and saw what I heard, I knew that something was wrong.
Now, you went all over Israel, right? You
yes,
met.
Sir.
Yeah, so you went in both sides of Jerusalem. You went to Tel Aviv. You interviewed Israelis. Excuse me?
We landed in Tel Aviv.
Right, right. No, but I'm saying you didn't just go to quote the West Bank. In other words, you realize the only reason there's a fence up is because of terrorist attacks. You realize the only reason there's security is because of terrorist attacks. You realize that the Palestinian Authority, PLO, they name streets after terrorists. They name schools after terrorists. That Palestinian on a daily. No, this all facts, sir.
No, what you have is propaganda. Believe me, sir.
No. Wait. Don't say believe me. Listen, I've been to the land many times. I have friends who work with Reconciliation. Ray, hang on. Ray. Well, tell you what. I'm going to lecture you about Black America in Clinton, Maryland. As a white man who doesn't live in Maryland, I'm going to lecture you about Black America in Clinton, Maryland. How arrogant would that be? How out of place would that be?
Well,
sir, I have friends who have lived in Israel for 40 years. I have friends who work closely with Arab Christians every day of their lives. I have Arab Christian friends, all right? There is no propaganda here, sir. There is day and night terror threat to Israel from all sides. And what you need to do is go to palwatch.org, palwatch.org. That will show you what is being broadcast on the Palestinian media in Arabic every single day to incite hatred and terror against the Jews.
I went to the PLO office. I went to the headquarters.
They pulled the wool over your eyes, sir.
We met with the prime minister. We met with the ambassador. We met with the mayor of Bethlehem. We met with the mayor of Hebron. We met with different
professors. Yes, and they're all going to tell you the same thing.
There to Palestine.
They're all going to tell you the same thing.
Let me tell you, these people are not interested in killing Jews. Here's what happened. They can't even control their own water because the Jews control the water that they get.
Why? Why?
Because of their fear and paranoia.
Ray, let me just tell you, the KKK never existed. Let me talk to you for a minute. You were the one that's paranoid. Slavery never existed in America. Segregation never existed in America. The KKK never existed in America. You're making it all up. Ray, please hear me. You heard the propaganda. What you got exposed to is the propaganda. Do you think Israelis want to send every one of their kids into the army? Do you think they like sending their boys and girls, everyone mandatory into the army? Do you think they like having that fence up and that wall up? Do you think they like when you go into a mall that you have to have your bags checked like when you get on a plane with TSA? Do you think they like that? No, of course. By the way, of course, slavery, segregation, KKK, they're all horrors. Of course. If you as a Black American say we've been mistreated in our history, that's not paranoia. That's truth. That's not propaganda. That's truth. Hamas in Gaza Strip wants to wipe out the Jews. It is on their charter. The Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, listen, you want to be educated. You had the wool pulled over your eyes, all right, by people who are Muslims, many of them radical Muslims. And the fact of the matter is, if you will see what is taught in the schools, if you will see what is on the TV, if you will talk to the thousands of Israelis who are victims of terror attacks, visit the hospitals, you'll see Israel's one issue, terrorism. Here's a question for you, Ray. There are 1.5 million Palestinians living in Israel with full citizenship rights. Why? Why do the 1.5 million Palestinians living in Israel proper have full citizenship rights? It is because they are not trying to murder the Jews. No, not all Palestinians want to kill Jews. Most do not, but there are many who do, and the government often aids it and abets it. Educate yourself, sir. You're a minister. You're a thinking man. You took the time to go over there, and what you had was a propaganda exposure to the max. Go to palwatch.org. I challenge you. Check it every day for 1 week. Palwatch.org and see what is broadcast on the Palestinian media, Fatah, Palestinian Authority, PLO, every day. You will be shocked, sir. You will be shocked.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. You know, this is really grievous, friends. This is really grievous. For someone to tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to life in Israel, for someone to make one trip and listen to people who have one set of opinions and one side of a story, and who are going to deny the realities of the terror that Israel has to live with. You know how many terror attacks Israel stops every month from happening? And anyone want to take a guess on that? You know the way Israelis have to live just as normal life? Oh, if you go there, hey, you join us on our tour. Of course, can't sign up now, end of February, early March. But if you're coming on the tour list, you'll be amazed at the freedom and liberty that the people have there. But they have to live with constant surveillance, constant. They are stopping terror attacks behind the scenes day and night, 24/7. And to just say it's paranoia, I mean, that's ugly. That's ugly. That's like me telling a Christian in Pakistan that the unequal treatment that they receive there, that's just paranoia. And I would have gladly dialogued with Ray about this, but not when he's going to tell me that Jews in Israel who think that Palestinians, that there are Palestinian terrorists in the West Bank, that they're just believing propaganda, it's just paranoia. No, you're not going to spit on the blood of those who have been slaughtered. No, sir. If you want to say, isn't there a better way for the Palestinians to be treated? And aren't there things Israel does that are harsh? And we can talk about that. We can talk about that all day. But I guarantee you, the moment the Palestinian government stops inciting terror or effectively shuts down terror is the day that unequal treatment goes away. It is there. It's not there within Israel proper. Okay, the undisputed part of Israel, right? Judea, Samaria being part of what's disputed, all right? The 1.5 million Arabs who live there, they vote, they live their lives, they have their jobs, their professions, and they are free. They have more freedom than any Arabs and Muslims anywhere in the Middle East. And by and large, quite overwhelmingly, they do not want to be under the leadership of the Palestinian Authority. They do not want to be under the leadership of Hamas. So here, Palestinian Authority has to replace Mahmoud Abbas, should have replaced him years ago with elections. They vote among their leaders and those that can cast a vote, so however many thousands just within the upper echelon. And who is it that they voted to be the new leader of the Palestinian Authority? A man who's in jail serving five life prison sentences for the murder of Israelis. He is the hero and the face of the movement. I am looking at palwatch.org, all right? This is actually what Fatah, with Palestinian Authority, with PLO, what they are actually posting, all right? What is actually happening. And if you don't believe me, find someone that knows Arabic and listen to the broadcast and read the post in Arabic, all right? December 18th, Nazareth Nazareth municipality has school children honor murderer of three Israelis. That's December 18th. December 22nd, Fatah, which is Mahmoud Abbas's party. In two Facebook posts, Fatah celebrated 20 different most outstanding terror attacks that altogether killed 116 Israelis. December 22nd. December 25th. Did Fatah interpret the recent UN Security Council resolution as giving it permission to kill Israelis? It asked that question. And then it says this. Did Fatah thank 14 countries for granting it permission to kill Israelis? Before the UN vote, there is a picture of the, well, it's a bloody knife, all right? And it's with Palestinian Authority going through the heart of Israel. And now what it has, it says Palestine will defeat the settlement. And then after the Security Council, it reprinted the same image, but then said thank you and named the 14 countries that voted in favor of the resolution. This is a bloody image, and now they're saying thank you to the countries that voted for the resolution. This is what Israel's dealing with, friends. This is what Israel is dealing with 24/7. They do not like all the checkpoints. They do not like the fence and in some parts of the wall. Why is there a wall? It's to keep snipers out. But since they put that fence up, that security barrier, fence and slash wall, 97-98% fence, since they put it up, murders, terrorist murders went down 99%. They'd rather have that unseemly barrier than have their men, women, and children killed in cold blood. Shame on those that get one side of the story and then are going to lecture those that work on these issues day and night. Again, the friends I have work with Arab Christians for reconciliation and seek to bring people together and are quick to call out Israel if Israel does wrong. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Franklin in New York. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, sir, for taking my call.
You bet.
I got a question for you about the Magi that came to visit Jesus. Were they Jews and where did they come from?
No, they were not. They were presumably not Jews. And when it speaks of Magi, it's really speaking of pagan wise men or pagan. They could have been astrologers. God was getting this message out to the nations. In other words, these were not Jews. Now, some believe they were like Daniel, who was a Jew, in captivity, right, in Babylon. Matthew 2:1, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived unexpectedly in Jerusalem. So it only says they're from the east, where they say, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? The language would suggest they're not Jews themselves. But the term that's used when we see wise men in some translations, NIV says magi, again, from other nations, they could have been known as leaders, educated, some of the more educated leaders. They could have been priests to other religions and were recognizing there was some type of redemption coming for the Jewish people. Were they Jews? Presumably not. Could they have been astrologers or something like that? Speculation that they could have been, but certainly not Jews coming from the East. If you listen to our broadcast from last week, sir, if you go to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org, click on listen. If you just scroll down, I did an interview earlier this week with Dr. Hugh Ross, an astronomer, and he weighed in on that as well with his position. But thank you, sir, for the call. Friends, I'm taking calls 90 minutes more. 90 minutes more, 866-348-7884. So call in. We'll keep taking your calls. Those that are signing off now, have an awesome new year in the Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thank you for joining us on the line of fire, 866-348-7884. Is the number to call. You've got questions, we've got answers. Let's go to Virginia. Brian, welcome to the line of fire.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Doing very well, thank you.
I was listening to your broadcast when you were talking with the other gentleman from Maryland about the Palestinians not wanting to destroy Israel. That was a hard discussion to listen to, simply because I'm fully aware of the conflict and what's going on there. I'm an African-American gentleman in the D.C. metro area. I'm also a consultant working with government contractors and supporting the State Department on multiple contracts in the West Bank. And quite obviously, there is a strong desire for the Palestinians to destroy and wipe Israel off the map. Not all Palestinians feel that way. The group that I'm working with are very supportive of a two-state solution and don't advocate for the destruction of Israel. The gentleman was definitely uninformed and was giving a propaganda tour.
Yeah, I mean, look, Brian, first thing is Palestinians, Israelis, they're all human beings loved by God. That's the first thing. And Jesus died for all of them just the same. And
absolutely.
For me, being pro-Israel doesn't mean being anti-Palestine. In other words, I believe if Israel's security was firm, that Israel would treat its neighbors the best way possible. And again, you have 1.5 million Palestinians who live in Israel, you know, cities like Tel Aviv and Haifa and Jerusalem. They live there. They work there. They have 17 members of the Knesset. They have one member of the Supreme Court. They can vote. They don't have to fight in the army. Some choose to, but the majority don't. So they have the full protections, and they can blast Israel. They can be, and it's fine. They can say what they want because they have the freedom to. And your average Palestinian, I don't think they want to kill Jews. Your average Palestinian is not a terrorist. But when you have the exaltation of terror in the culture, when you have the Islamic denigration of Jews as Jews, when you have the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem, so the leading religious cleric in Jerusalem a few years ago, quoting a famous hadith that says that the end will not come until the Muslims slaughter the Jews, and you got that preached in Jerusalem by a leader there and broadcast on Palestinian TV, and that's just Palestinian Authority. That's nowhere near as hostile as Hamas is. So that's the reality. So then, of course, there's going to be pushing back from Israel, and of course, there's going to be unfairness in terms of how an average Israeli lives versus someone in a Palestinian in the West Bank. But again, there's only one reason for it. It's because of the history of Islamic terror. And it's very easy to get a tour and, hey, look, we love everybody. We just want to live in peace. And many of the people do. But when the thing, Brian, if someone just said, look, I don't think the Palestinians are being treated fairly, or I think Israeli settlements have too many advantages over the Palestinians, or I saw some of these Israeli soldiers, they seem downright hostile to Palestinians at the checkpoint. Right, those are all issues that we can discuss. But
absolutely. I totally agree. I totally agree with you. I believe that the two-state solution is a viable solution. I'm a true supporter of Israel. But again, like you said, you know, those things can be discussed. I do believe the settlements are an issue, but I don't think our government has made the right decision in the things that they've done. And
yeah.
I think that is what the gentleman's motivation was in the statement that he made to you during his call.
Oh, yeah.
Because he is following the current administration narrative, basically, without knowing any of the facts. I've seen it firsthand. I was in Israel the firsthand. In Israel when the rockets began to fly the last time around when Hamas began their particular attack.
Yeah, you were there, and that's the reality. It wasn't propaganda that you experienced, Brian. Hey, thank you, sir, for the call. I really appreciate it.
It's fire we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to your calls, picture this scene, all right? You hear screams from a house on your block, and you go in, you hear the screaming, the door is open, you run in, and you see someone, you think it's a neighbor of yours, but he's got a guy on the ground, and he's punching him in the face, and the guy's screaming, stop, stop, and he's punching him and beating him, and you try to pull the guy off, say, what are you doing, you're killing this guy. Okay, maybe he went too far, but what you didn't know was that the guy that was on the ground had broken into the house and had killed his wife and children, and there were other children in the backyard playing, and the guy was going after him. When this father came in, found him, and beat him to the ground, and was beating him when you came in, it puts a whole different light on the situation, doesn't it? So you have someone who gets basically a propaganda tour of the West Bank, and a denial of the real situation. And look, we're being mistreated. Look at the situation we're in. Okay, let's talk about the history. Let's talk about how this happened. Let's back things up a little bit. Go to my website, thelineoffire.org. Click on the digital library. All right, lineoffire.org. Click on the digital library and look for my video lecture, is Israel an Evil Occupier. Just type in Evil Occupier. And you can watch free. It's over an hour lecture. I think you'll find it tremendously eye-opening with quotes and with facts. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Barbara in Northern Virginia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi. I guess when I was listening to that man earlier about how it wasn't as it's being portrayed, that it's propaganda, I felt like getting angry, but then I thought, that guy's not really a pastor. He's not who he said he was. Or he's way out of touch with the news and even maybe the Lord, which is, I guess, challenging even his Christianity at that level. But it's the tunnel. I mean, even John Kerry said, oh, they should quit blowing up the Palestinian tunnel. You know, it's like, what? They've dug tunnels under their schools and under their neighborhoods. This guy, like I said, he's just not who he said he was, or he's, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let's put the
somewhere.
Let's put the best construction on it, Barbara. He is a pastor. He cares enough to go with other pastors over to the Middle East so he can see for himself what's happening. He knows what it's like to be part of a people who has been oppressed in history. He knows there can be injustice in society, and he is subject to one side of the story in such an exaggerated form that it skews his thinking. He thinks he's siding on the side of justice, but here's where he's making a massive mistake, because look, all of us have limited perspectives. In other words, I've traveled 150 plus times overseas. I've traveled to maybe 30 nations, but I still have very limited perspective on those nations because I haven't lived there my whole life. I'm a man. I don't have the perspective of a woman. I mean, we all have limitations in our perspectives, but it's when we get exposed to one side of the story and now come away as experts and say that a whole nation is believing propaganda and living in paranoia, that's when it becomes an unsound judgment. That's where I question the wisdom of someone's thinking. Again, it's one thing if someone says, hey, look, there are two sides to the story. I know you stand with Israel. I believe Israel has the right to the land there, but I think they could treat Palestinians better. Okay, fine. That's a discussion that happens within Israel. Those things happen all the time. But when you are talking about coming away with it, be basically like I was saying, slavery never happened, segregation never happened, the KKK never existed, you're just paranoid. You know, it's that kind of ridiculously ignorant, arrogant statement that says, okay, something's missing in the equation. So again, I think the best that someone wanted to find out the situation and cared enough to go to Israel, but they were part of a propaganda tour. One thing I didn't get to ask, I would have been curious, but when I was unable to say something without being interrupted on my own show, I had to speak there for a little while till we got to a break. But I wonder if he paid his own way, if other pastors paid their own way, or if they were sponsored in going. Probably paid their own way, but just curious about that. All right, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. I want to get to some of your emails. And before I get to some of your emails there, all right, just got to stack slightly outside of my reach. There we go. Okay. Here's some amazing quotes, from U.S. presidents. John Adams writing to Thomas Jefferson. I will insist that the Hebrews have done more to civilize man than any other nation. John Adams writing to Mordecai Emanuel Noah. Father, I could find it in my heart to wish that you had been at the head of 100,000 Israelites and marching with them into Judea and making a conquest of that country and restoring your nation to the dominion of it. For I really wish the Jews again in Judea an independent nation. Wow. John Quincy Adams. I believe in the rebuilding of Judea as an independent nation. Abraham Lincoln. Not long after the Emancipation Proclamation, Abraham Lincoln met a Canadian Christian Zionist, Henry Wentworth Monk, who expressed hope that Jews who were suffering oppression in Russia and Turkey be emancipated, quote, by restoring them to their national home in Palestine. Lincoln said this was, quote, a noble dream and one shared by many Americans. The president said his chiropodist, is that like an old chiropractor, was a Jew who, quote, has so many times put me upon my feet that I would have no objection to giving his country a leg up. Interesting. All right, let's get to some emails from Jose. Hello, Dr. Brown. I was wondering, how can we receive the gifts of the Spirit as I wish with all my heart to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? Some people say that speaking in tongues is not for today, or say that speaking in tongues is not babbling as they portray it. But in the scriptures, we see that the Lord said with stammering lips and strange tongues, he will speak to his people. And of course, that's a passage from the book of Isaiah, quoted by Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 to say that to the non-believer, tongues is a foreign language. It's just judgment. It's nothing. And he's using it in that context. But to the believer, it's a good and wonderful thing. Jose says, if God can understand our prayers in Chinese, Spanish, English, German, Japanese, and every language, then he must be able to understand them if our spirit tries to speak through our mouths with unutterable sounds. Can you please develop in the topic as well? It would really be appreciated if you can give your views and opinions. Also, if you could please extend a prayer for my life as I'm living through a severe depression. I seek enlightenment through the Word of God, and one thing that gives me hope is that the Holy Spirit can work through me by his gifts and be baptized by him. Well, first, Lord, we pray that you would help Jose in the midst of his depression, that you would make yourself real to him, that you would lift this from him, that you'd fill him with joy, and that you'd help him to understand the roots of this depression so that he can receive help and find complete wholeness. All right, Jose, as to your question, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul plainly says, don't forbid speaking in tongues. 1 Corinthians 13 plainly teaches that tongues, prophecy, will be here until Jesus returns. So, yes, tongues are for today. Doesn't mean everyone claiming to speak in tongues genuinely is. Doesn't mean everything done in the Pentecostal Charismatic Church is right. Simply means that God never withdrew this. And that's why throughout church history there are instances of this and a great renewal and restoration of this in the last 150 years. So that's why there are hundreds of millions of people around the world who speak in tongues. And I'm one of those and quite grateful to God for that. There's a depth of communion I have with God praying in the Spirit that often then gives me greater enlightenment to pray with my understanding and deepens my walk with the Lord and enables me to serve him and serve his people more effectively. So, Jose, read through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, 14. Say, Lord, I want everything you have. read through the book of Acts, say, Lord, I want everything you have. Use me for your glory. And ask him to fill you afresh with his Spirit, to touch you so that you are drenched by his Spirit. You may feel something you may not. We receive by faith. And then just begin to worship him and praise him. And if worship and praise and prayer begins to rise out of you in new languages, wonderful. Let it happen. You'll experience the reality of John 7, where Jesus said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. There's a spiritual experience that parallels that. And you'll say, how would I know if it's my own mind or not? Well, your own mind could have created it at any time. This is something that you feel, that initiative, that urge from within, and begin to speak out words you don't understand. And before you know it, wow, you're speaking a brand new language that God understands, and it's building you up on the inside.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Hey, we have had a lot of commentary this week on the radio, in writing, and on video in terms of what has happened with the with the United States, with the UN, with Israel. We've had a lot of commentary on it. Please take advantage of it. Go to thelineoffire.org and listen to previous broadcasts that deal with it. Just click on listen to do that, and then click on the digital library, and you'll see relevant articles and videos, plus other commentaries we've put out as well. My latest article you can read online. An ex-gay Christian says it was easier to leave homosexuality than to change his diet. Yes. Amazing, isn't it? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's see. This is from Augustus. I was hoping to ask two simple questions. Does Dr. Small and yourself ever have intentions to debate again about topics such as polygamy, incest, etc.? All right, he's referring to a debate I did at the University of Central Florida a few years back. After my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, came out, Dr. Small was a professor at another local university and said that he would gladly debate me. And we said, you pick the topic. So he picked same-sex marriage. Should it be legal? You can watch that debate by going to the digital library. All right. So you can watch this free online. Go to thelineoffire.org, click on the digital library, and then just type in the name Small, S-M-A-W, and that'll get you to the video. You can watch it. I think you'll find it quite eye-opening. And during that debate, I just asked him to define marriage and explain why did marriage require two people. And, of course, there's slippery slope issues. Why is polygamy wrong? What about a throuple? Three men or three women that want to marry, or some other combination. What about the twins in Australia, twin sisters who've been in relationship with the same guy for years and they want to get married as a threesome? And he said, well, I can't discuss that because I made an agreement with others before the debate not to discuss those issues. And, of course, that didn't play well in the overall debate. You can watch, judge for yourself. Let's just say that a far better presentation of the other side could have been made than was made. So it was good in terms of us being able to get our position out clearly. But, no, we've had no contact since then. I don't know that there'd be another debate. And in fairness, I don't know that that would be I'm glad to debate anyone, but I try to be fair that there's a good spokesman for the other side. I think there are other spokesmen that could do a better job in presenting the other side. What would be some good tools to use to learn Greek and Hebrew on my own? It depends if you've got good language skills, all right? But the best thing to do is to get a program with software and a book. So if you get online and just search learning biblical Hebrew, learning biblical Greek, you'll see different programs that come up. There are some online ones where you fill out your tests online. Some even have a tutor, but then of course it's much more money. So to do it on your own, you would want to get a book and a CD, something that I didn't have decades ago when I was teaching myself biblical Hebrew, for example, and trying to work on other languages. I was learning modern Hebrew in school, taught myself biblical Hebrew, then learned some aspects of rabbinic Hebrew with rabbis and things like that. But unless you can just sit down and learn a language and have exceptional skill in doing it, then what you want to do is get the most help you can that can reinforce things. And you'd best work on one language at a time, again, unless you're really gifted. I learned six languages at once in college, but that wasn't the wisest thing to do because I could have put deeper foundations in two or three rather than more shallow foundations in six. And then when I went to grad school, I added more. And of course, that's part of what I was doing in grad school. But some of the languages I only had for a year in college, I never really advanced beyond that with some of those. So get a book that also has an accompanying CD or DVD, and then you do the exercises in a computer setting. And if you're trying to pronounce things or learn things, you have some critique in doing it. And you can also check out the website HebrewForChristians.com. Hebrew, the number four. Let me make sure it is .com. Hebrew for Christians, .com, I think, as opposed to .org. Let's see. Yep. And that's a great place to start learning Hebrew online for free. Okay? Hebrew for Christians, learn the language of the kingdom. There's probably an equivalent Greek site. I just don't know about it. 866-348-7884. Do I have time? Okay. Yeah. Let's try this one from Robert. Dr. Brown, I had a question. Jeremiah 17:17, it uses the word trust, batach in Hebrew, and the word hope, midbach, but they seem to almost translate exactly the same. Can you help me understand the difference between these two words? Yeah, often in translation, you're faced with choices that you have to make. I pulled my hair out translating Job earlier this year, and it took me longer than I expected it to take. And sometimes what I struggled with was the simple verses where everybody knew the meaning of it, but I was trying to say, should I say it like this? Should I say it like this? What's the best way to do it? But you have this exact same root, okay? So the Hebrew, Baruch HaGever, blessed is the man, Asher Yiftach Baranai, who trusts in the Lord, Vahaya Adonai Miftacho, and the Lord is his trust, the Lord is his security, his confidence. So the first one is batach in a verbal form, to trust. The second is batach in a nominal form, having to do with a state of trust, hence confidence. I would not translate it as hope. So King James, New King James, I would not do that. ESV, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. It's telling you, same thing, if you want to have a slight different nuance, use the word confidence. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in the Lord. That helps, or who have made the Lord their confidence. So you're correct in saying that the words are similar. Again, one is the verbal form. The other is the nominal form, all from the same root, batach. Hey, while we're talking about batach, how about a favorite batach verse? Proverbs 3:5. Batach alavanai b'chol libecha. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. El binatcha al tisha'ein. And don't lean on your own understanding. B'chol drachecha de'ehu. In all your ways, acknowledge him. V'hu yasher orchatecha. And he will direct or make your paths straight. Yeah, great, great verse to hold on to as you leave the old year and come into the new. Hey, friends, make sure you get some good time with the Lord this week and reflect, think back on the year, and pray that this next year be the most blessed and fruitful you have known. And my bottom line today, the Lord who has been faithful through the generations will be faithful in 2017. Well, let's do it. I'm ready. You've got questions. We've got answers.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, thank you for joining us today on The Line of Fire, our last broadcast of 2016. Can't wait for 2017 to start, but grateful for the favor of the Lord that we've experienced through 2016. Thank you for being a listener. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you for your words of encouragement. Thank you for your financial support. Everything we do together with you. All right, it's Friday, which means you've got questions, we've got answers. Anything under the sun you want to talk to me about, question, biblical, theological, linguistic, biblical Hebrew or Greek or Aramaic, question you have about background to the Bible, apologetics, moral questions, cultural questions, questions having to do with Israel, let's have at it. 866-348-7884. If you want to talk to me about the cold front that's coming in and climate change, I'm not your man. If you want to talk to me about the college football playoffs, well, that's exciting, but it's not a sports talk show. If you want to talk to me about details having to do with the economy and rising interest rates and what that would mean, I'm not good in economy. That's not a specialty area for me. But all these other things are listed. Glad to take your calls. 866-348-7884. Let's go to this question first. Dear Dr. Brown, thank you so much for your stand on so many important issues. I was blessed by your teaching at the Fire School in the Netherlands last year. I have a question. I don't know if you've already addressed this subject publicly. Here in Switzerland and basically in Europe, to speak more generally, there's a big ecumenical movement going on. Evangelical pastors are referring to the Pope's books. Events are organized together with Catholics. And it looks like in every gathering now you should have a speaker that comes from the Catholic Church. What do you think about this movement? Even if we do want Catholic people to have a personal encounter with Jesus and a true repentance, don't you think that collaborating to that extent is compromising in many different ways the basic essence of our faith? It looks like there is a lack of clarity as far as the root of Catholicism and the true meaning of sacraments are concerned. If you have any teaching on the subject, I'd be really interested. I have not written on this and addressed it in terms of lectures or anything like that, okay? But I would say this. Number one, if people are genuinely born again, genuine followers of Jesus, Catholic, Protestant, doesn't matter to me. Will I work together for joint gospel concerns? Yes. However, I definitely have many differences with my friends in the Catholic Church. I'm co-workers with born-again Catholics, but I am not one that quotes the Pope or looks to the Pope for spiritual guidance. And I would be very concerned that there would be a watering down of fundamentals of the gospel. So again, if someone is truly born again, be they Catholic, Protestant, be they Orthodox, whoever they are, if they're genuinely born again, they're my brother, my sister. And if we're working for a joint gospel cause, you know, to help the poor or to, you know, to win Muslims to Jesus, and we're praying together or working together, reach out, that's fine. But there's a larger ecumenical movement that I have issues with, that I think waters down distinctives, that I think compromises real issues, and that puts people in the same bed, so to say, that really are not real bedfellows. So with that regard, I have some real concerns. Thank God for unity among true believers. Let's celebrate that. But otherwise, I have some grave concerns, as do you.
The world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. Let us go to Sharon in Aylett, or is it Aylett, Virginia?
It's Aylett, Virginia.
All right. Aylett, yes. Virginia, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Thank you. Dr. Brown, I've talked to you before about this issue, and since then it's progressed further. My son, who was raised in our Christian home, announced to us 3 days ago that he proposed to his Mormon girlfriend. When I called you earlier, you suggested that we talk with him and his girlfriend and offer to watch the debate with Dr. James White. Well, she was very offended at that, especially when I told her that I reject the Mormon faith. And so since that time, my son has really distanced himself from us because he said we didn't treat her well. And so we just, I mean, he announced to us Tuesday night that he proposed and she accepted. And my question to you is, how do we proceed with this? We have just been grieving.
Yeah.
You know, since that pronouncement. So I'd like your ideas on what to do.
All right. So obviously they have some type of compromise, mythological compromise between them, where either he is much more pro-Mormon when he is with her than he's expressing to you, or that they simply act as if they share the same faith because they're in love and they want to get married. And when push comes to shove and you say, well, we're not Mormons, we reject Mormon faith, he's very offended by it. So as far as you can tell, what are his current beliefs?
I mean, he still attends church every Sunday. He's not as involved as I would like for him to be, but he doesn't indicate that he will join the Mormon faith. But as I watch him distancing himself from our family, you know, just not only my husband and I, but from our daughters, you know, I sense that pull. I know the Mormon faith has a very strong pull, and her family is very steeped in that. So I don't think he would go to the Mormon faith, but as I'm watching his behavior, I am concerned.
Now,
I think they're just so in love, they're thinking, oh, we'll just cross that bridge when we come to it.
Right, and the fine line you have to walk as parents, and anytime we're dealing with family members, friends, is do I stand on a certain principle that could potentially alienate someone that I care about, or do I express my care by standing for that principle? And that's the challenge and where the Lord has to give wisdom. But when he's going to church on Sunday, she's in her own church?
Yes, she is not there. She has a schedule where she cannot always, where she works on Sundays sometimes. But I know she does attend, like, the ward, you know, whenever she's not working. She has attended church with him on occasion.
Right. See, look, if this is a way where you have to just patiently love on them and let the Holy Spirit draw her in, and he's going to lead the way. And through that, she's going to end up attending the same church and God touching her and bringing her out of the era of Mormonism. Then obviously that is a redemptive thing. On the flip side, there is, again, the pressure if she comes from a strong Mormon family, and he's less involved, that he would end up going in that direction. But when he shared with you that they were engaged, what was his spirit doing? Was he excited to tell you? What did he knew there was going to be a fight? How did that happen?
Well, he told us by a phone call, which is just, that was inappropriate, I felt. And he was excited, and I was in such shock, I did not respond. I said, okay. And then I handed the phone to my husband, and, you know, he said, well, thanks for telling me. We did not congratulate. We didn't say, oh, how wonderful, you know. And he sounded excited, but that, you know, he just told us that, and then we hung up. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, what I would do is this. He's old enough to make his own decisions, obviously.
Right.
And
he's 21.
Right, he's 21. And obviously you're grieved over this, and you could easily say, well, you're marrying a non-believer, and and you know, we can't be part of the wedding, etc. But then, you know, you might be taking a stand that's going to be counterproductive, especially if she professes to be a believer and he's convinced that they both share the same savior.